Hi, I'm William Tullett from Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge.
And I'm Hannah McCann from the University of Melbourne in Australia.
And welcome to the Pandemic Sensory Archive, a collection of voices from sensory experts on the fate of the five senses during and after the COVID-19 pandemic.
This project has been sponsored by the British Academy, and we hope that you enjoy the interview.
All right, just to begin, do you want to introduce yourself and give us a sense of your expertise when it comes to the sense of sound and hearing?
Sure, that's fine. Hello, my name is Martin Stewart. As a totally blind person for 58 years since birth, I think I could be considered as an expert on sound, as it is the sense that I use to locate just about everything.
Yeah, fantastic. And you are the National Advocacy Officer at Blind Citizens Australia.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, okay. And so can you tell us a little bit about that experience of being totally blind and using sound as in your daily life?
Sure. The sense of sound is very dynamic. When you are born or eventually acquire blindness, that sense becomes a very, very broad sensation that you use to affect, to move about, to locate items, objects, to not run into something when you otherwise may. There's what is called echolocation ability, where a blind person can, either by tapping upon their leg or making a noise by tongue, we can locate objects nearby and even in some cases ascertain the material that those objects are made from. So when I stand still, as I am right now, I can actually sense, hear, it seems, what is on my left, a wall and a table, and what is on my right, a wall that's further away, and what's in front of me. I know I'm in an enclosed environment, as I would be able to detect an environment that's more open. So the sense of sound can be heard even when something is not making a sound. It is by virtue of how the atmosphere, the air around us is coming back to me through my hearing. And that's what a person with total blindness can, not in all cases, but in most cases, can pick up, as I can. And as I said earlier, it prevents coming into contact unwantingly with objects and hearing anything from a person's voice to a post box.
Wow. It sounds like so the sense of sound becomes crucial to you navigating your world.
Correct, yes. It is something that I fear the loss of.
And is that something that, you know, a lot of blind or vision impaired people that you come into contact with through Blind Citizens Australia have similar experiences?
Yes, most of us have, to a broader or lesser degree, this ability to move about effectively by the use of sound and to be able to ascertain our nearby environment, and object recognition is part of that through what I've just spoken about.
And are there certain scenarios where that becomes quite difficult, you know, in terms of accessibility?
Yes, there are.
Yeah. And what are those?
In the built space, if it hasn't been built to consider the percussion effect of sound, for example, Southern Cross train station, one of the worst examples of how that certainly has not considered the sound, because it makes far too much of it because of the designed in roof feature. And places with bare floors, for example, restaurant environments with bare floors can present an issue. Weather, like the recent strong wind that we've experienced, heavy rain, can effectively take hearing away and reduce the safety when traveling for a blind person.
Yeah, okay. So something for planners to consider more, perhaps. And I feel like I've really never heard this discussed very much. So something that people really need to take into consideration.
Yes, I call upon all current and future architects to zone in on the sound zone that you are building, creating, designing. It's so important for everyone, I believe, not just a totally blind person who obviously has a particular focused need. But I think that all people need to be comfortable, and part of that comfort comes through the ambience.
Mm. And it's perhaps something that people who are not blind or vision impaired don't realise, if they have hearing, don't realise how much they're relying on that sound as well.
Absolutely. There's lots of designed in features that assist me that also assist you, just like a building that has a ramp for a person who uses a wheelchair. That ramp could assist someone with a temporary injury, those that are pushing prams, etc. It can be a universally beneficial, mutually satisfactory design.
Mm. That's such an important point. And I wanted to turn now to your experiences of sound during the pandemic specifically. Mm. What has been your experience?
There's quite a bit less of it.
A lot less sound.
Peaceful. Yeah, it's become quite peaceful, really. You won't get me complaining about lockdowns.
Right.
It's locked out a lot of sound because not as much movement, and therefore sound. Less movement is more safe for me. I'm, of course, saying that understanding the true negative impacts that are being experienced by people who aren't moving. But for me, it's allowed more distant sound to come in and less close, threatening sounds like moving cars and so many people.
Mm. And so it's kind of like the background noise has been eliminated.
Well, I'm in a home office right now and it's quite peaceful out there when normally you would hear lots of cars in the car park that's nearby, slamming of doors, chatting of people, et cetera, et cetera. Now it's peaceful. It's like a Sunday, a lazy Sunday.
Have you noticed any new sounds that you didn't hear prior to the pandemic?
Birds. Beautiful birds that seem to be flocking in numbers because of less pollution and probably less sound of human movement. There's no doubt the birds have come in closer than ever before.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's something kind of anecdotally people have talked about, but It sounds like that is definitely, you know, something.
It's real.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. It is real.
And I mean, talking about people who are blind or vision impaired experiences during the pandemic, a lot of the media has been about the difficult challenges of new layouts in shops and the difficulty of socially distancing and perhaps strangers less willing to help because of those issues. You know, how does sound come into that? Those issues. I mean, I feel like we've heard about the challenges, but not necessarily the benefits.
Well, the challenges for a blind person are extreme because we rely upon another sense called touch, and that is less likely to be possible with people and social distancing requirements. So the assistance and support in that method of helping has been taken out to a large degree, and queuing in the right places and spaces where there's so many signs to do it that we cannot see causes a major trauma. Some blind people have decided just simply to stay indoors. And that, of course, causes an isolation effect. The benefits are the ones I've spoken of, the peaceful, the sound of peace, birds that have come in. And you can actually hear more distant sounds because they're not competing with closer sounds. So there's less competition in the sound environment.
And would you say the pandemic has transformed our relationship with sound?
I think it's allowed us to get to know it a lot better and to appreciate the comparison between a lot of and less of. So I'm hoping that it will mean that we pay attention to the importance of it in future design of everything, because I feel, for example, a lot of people when using social media, such as what we're on today in that Zoom, are saying, oh, I'll just switch audio on. And I'm pleasantly hearing people with vision say, oh, to save bandwidth, I'll take my video off. And I'm thinking, great, you are actually recognizing that you don't need that picture of someone's face. Hear them, you hear their breathing, their personality, their voice, who they are.
And it gives you, I suppose, you know, you're focusing on different things then if you're not vision impaired or blind. Having to listen more intently, maybe?
Well, the personality is, in my view, the person's intonations, the way they use their voice. It tells you so much about their personality, the breathing. That's far more important than what you can see, because okay, there's body language, but you can pick that up through the sound. And I think the visual cues, okay, can synchronize with the sound, but you can do without it. And people are now realizing it. So in that sense, the relationship with sound and how possibly more important it is than the vision of a person is connecting, and I think resonating so much more because of COVID.
And of course, you've kept up the advocacy work with Blind Citizens Australia, despite the fact that everyone is separated from each other and having to, you know, isolate and be at home. So you've continued to hold meetings over Zoom and that kind of thing.
We are resolving through the work that we do here people's at times major problems, issues that have dogged them for sometimes years, and we're doing it by hearing each other's voices and using our voices to create the words to have the influence on positively impacting upon issues that affect us all or a specific individual, legislative changes, it goes on and on. What we are simply doing by sound, by listening, by taking in what we've heard, and by returning the favour by expressing our words in return.
So would you say then that the use of technology during the pandemic has kind of improved that ability to do work together?
I do. We must not forget that all language is a pattern of sound. So whenever we say something, what we're hearing is exactly the same as Morse code. It's the sound of a word which we learn from day one of our lives. It's not the sight of a word, it's the sound of it. So each time we hear, whether it's a bird or a person, it is expressing something to you. And that's what words are. They're just a made-up sound that is emanating from a person's mouth, lips, brain, heart.
And, you know, just to finish up, what do you think the future of sound will be in a post-pandemic world? Or perhaps what do you hope it will be?
Well, I'm standing in front of a smart speaker that can only be operated by hearing something, and then I hear it sound out some words back to me. I think sound has been launched and appreciated, much more used than it ever has been before. We've got to get away from this visual only that really did penetrate into society, I think, in the last 10, 15 years, but in the last 3 or 4, accelerated by COVID, where people want to hear voices of their friends, of their business partners. They want to hear them tell them things, and they want to express themselves back after hearing what they've been told, what they've heard. They want to hear people sing. They want to hear, most of all, people laugh, the sounds of enjoyment. And as I said before, the voice is a sound wave, is a pattern that we're producing. And I think people have connected with that fact and are using it to great effect. So I hope that the future will build upon what has begun with COVID-19 and with smart speakers.
Well, it's been so interesting to talk to you. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap up?
Well, I'd just like to, through sound, say thank you very much for doing this project. I think it's so important that people look now and back to the past, when this very special time, what they call as the COVID normal era, has begun. And you recording that through sound will be a really good historical moment to reflect upon, and you are etching it where it belongs, and that is with and in great history.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so fantastic to hear your perspective and your unique experiences.
Thank you. It is unique. You're quite right about that. And as this is a unique project, thank you.
Thanks.